This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's another beautiful day in Pittsburgh. How many in a row, Joe Nelson? It seems like we're in a different part of the country right now. Going to be in the 80s again today. You got to suck up when you can get it. Get out there, enjoy it. Soak up the sunshine because it will change and it'll get a little chillier and then back up again. But all in all, pretty good start to the spring if you like hot weather. 412-928-9370. That is the number of the hotline here. And you can also text that number on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. If you choose Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. I'm Bob Pompiani. Joel Nelson is behind the glass. He'll be operating just about everything and making my job easy. Thank you, Joel, for that. Call him at 412-928-9370. Our show is brought to you by the outstanding people at PNC Bank. PNC, make today the day. Also, ride in style, as you always will, with number one Cochrane shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. We have a lot to get into today, and I'd love to hear from you, so call that hotline number and let's go. We have 2 hours before we join Dan Zangrilli with today's North Shore Tavern leadoff show as the Pirates get ready for game two against St. Louis. They lost last night. Johan Oviedo was outstanding. We'll talk more about that and whether or not Derek Shelton deserves a contract extension. Call us on that. But the big news this week, of course, was the Penguins, who didn't take long to make house-sweeping changes here to their management staff. Gone are Ron Hextall, Brian Burke, Chris Pryor. Those guys are all out. Pryor's the assistant and the right-hand man for Ron Hextall. The Penguins, after the trade deadline, did an about-face and really cost themselves a playoff spot. 9 wins, 10 losses, 2 ties. That means 9-12, essentially. That was after the trade deadline. And the moves made at that deadline were another of the reasons why it was an easy decision for the Fenway sports group to make this deal. Because Ron Hextall has taken this franchise and gone the other way with it. After signing everyone back, and even though I liked an extension for Chris Letang, I did not like 6 years. That's too long. He brought in Raquel. Raquel was probably his best move. I mean, the guy was productive. There's no question about that. But, you know, 16 consecutive postseasons, which was the longest in NHL salary cap era and the longest of any of the four North American sports leagues, ended. You know, those guys, Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, they hadn't missed the playoffs in a long time. 2006-07. And the Penguins actually controlled their destiny with 2 games left, 2 teams they should have beaten. And when you don't do that, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. They just looked tentative at home against a Chicago team that was absolutely filled with AHL players. And they crapped the bet on that one. Absolutely did. The longer it went scoreless, and they were Chicago was the better team. It's hard for me to look at that game and think the other way. Penguins have a lot of interesting decisions to make moving forward. And a question I want to start with is this one. Would you consider this to be an attractive job when you look at what is going to ail the Penguins here? Number one, you have the oldest team in the NHL, and it got older under Ron Hextall. He didn't make it younger, he made it older. So that's an issue for sure. And then you have a whole bunch of contracts that that are coming up and a salary cap that's almost filled now. I think they count $64 million to next year's cap. Now, it's going to be in the 80s. I'm not sure exactly the number, 81, 2 million, something like that. So that doesn't leave a whole bunch of money. And they have unrestricted and players who have contracts with years remaining. The unrestricted guys, Jason Zucker to me is somebody you'd like to sign, but how much will it cost and how much do they have to give him? Brian Dumoulin likely is gone. And I thought Dumoulin's play got better in the last several weeks of the season. You know, and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, but I just don't think they can afford him. And the Penguins really need some offensive help on their blue line. They got rid of Mike Matheson for Petrie as part of that deal, and they missed his speed. There's no question about that. They let Brandon Tanev go. They traded Brian McCann. They decided to keep Kasperi Kapanen, which was a fatal mistake, at the money that they gave him. And that wasn't the only money that's a problem right now, because Jeff Carter still has a year left at over $3.2 million. For whatever reason, they saw Mikael Granlund as someone who can help them down the stretch. He had one goal in 20 games. He still is owed $10 million, five a year for the next 2 years. And then Jeff Petrie is owed even more than that. Jeff Petrie minus Crosby is the highest paid Penguin. Are you kidding me? And they gave up Matheson for that bad move. A lot of bad moves. A lot of people, you know, would look at this and say it's not an attractive job, because you're dealing with a metropolitan division that has a lot of good young teams, up-and-coming teams, and teams that will get better. How do you fix the Penguins? And who would want that assignment? You know, there are names people are throwing out all over the place, which is fine. But you're going to have to figure out how to somehow infuse youth into this roster. I thought that was something, and I talked about it early in the season, this past season. They should have done it from the beginning. They acquired Alex Nylander from Chicago. Play him. Play him. Don't keep putting Jeff Carter out there every single day. Play him. You know, Drew O'Connor should have played more. When they brought up Jonathan Gruden, should have played him more. They have guys in their system. Hollander. Now, Sam Poulin had a mental situation that he was going on and tried to take care of. He's back. These are guys who are supposed to be part of your future 4 years ago, 3 years ago, some of them, and yet they're not here. You should have played him earlier. And that's another thing that Mike Sullivan has to do. He has to kind of reinvent himself on what he wants. You know, they play that style of hockey that he wants to play, but he didn't have the people to play it. It's one thing to play it if you have the players to play it. And I'm specifically now pointing at the defensemen on this team. Petrie, Ruda, Dumoulin, not capable of pinch and move up and make plays. They're just not. And in fact, it leads to odd man breaks, which is another problem that's been a problem for the Penguins all season long. Another problem when I sit back and look at this season, and we talk about it a lot, is their power play. For as generational of talents they have on this power play, again, it's a pass-first mentality. Again, you can ask Jake Gensel to go in front of the net. You can ask whoever you want. It ain't going to work, because that is a skill unto itself. Knowing how to position yourself in front of a goaltender, take a beating, and still be good. I give Jake Gensel a lot of credit. The man has some onions. You know, he's not unwilling to go there and do things, but he's just not your classic guy in front of the net. They missed that presence. They're also too not physical enough for me. They got to be more physical. And I'm not talking about bringing in fighters or brawlers. I'm talking about just a physical presence. They don't have it. They can't play that game. That is a really difficult assignment for any general manager coming in here. So I asked the question, is this an attractive job? You're going to have to overpay someone to do it, and you're going to have to give them some specific guarantees that it's going to take a little longer. I don't know how you change this in 1 year. I wish I had an answer for you, but like I said, it would start for me with Mike Sullivan allowing and coaching up some of the young guys in his system. When they won a Stanley Cup back-to-back years, Sullivan and Rutherford brought in young players, and they thrived, and Sullivan coached them up. His staff coached them up. You need to see that coming up this year. Somehow, some way, they have got to install some young people. And the other thing, the only way you're going to do any of this is to clear space. How do you clear space? Well, you're going to have to do buyouts. They may not like to do it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to buy out people. Say, look, thank you. Here's your money. Leave. We don't want you here. It's painful to do. But that's the life of this situation here right now. If you're in charge coming in here, you have to be willing, and they have to tell you it's okay to spend money to clear salary cap space. Then there's the goaltending issue. How do you solve this? There's, you know, I thought we would have a clear-cut answer about Tristan Jarry this year. He said he's been injured, battling injury. I know he's been injured. I give him a lot of credit for coming back when he did. Some, you know, you heard that last year in the Game 7 against the Rangers. But here's the deal. If he's injured, what the hell is he doing playing in the final game that's meaningless? That doesn't make any sense to me. And if he's injured, why are you putting an injured goaltender in there ahead of Casey DeSmith? I don't understand that either, if that's the case. Not that he's an answer. They doubled down on what they had, and now they're stuck with, what do you do with the goal? There are so many problems. I didn't think I'd... The least of their problems is Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Letang. Even though, like I said, I thought 6 years was a bit much on that contract. But those three were their best players again. They were. And so you thought that going in. Now, are they the same as they were 10 years ago? No. Do they need help? Absolutely, yes. What do you do now? You got to come in with a very, very fertile mind. You got to come in here with a plan of action that, for, you know, again, and I say this because this is not going to have to be a rebuild. They've already put their eggs in the big three basket. So therefore, they have to now figure out how to change cosmetically everything else on their roster with those three there. And if those three are there, you're trying to win now. And if you're trying to win now, you got to make these changes this year, this fast. Buyouts. Get them out of here, the ones you don't want. Start with young players. Put them in there more. Develop guys. All of this has to happen. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey. First up today here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. What's up, Ryan?
Morning, Bob. So from a practical perspective, this season couldn't have worked out worse for the Penguins. They got knocked out on the last night of the season. They made useless trades at the deadline because they didn't even make the playoffs. Hextall took on an awful contract that they're going to have to eat out by, you know, whatever. So it couldn't have worked out worse. However, I was a little optimistic. The Fenway people at least said the right things. They didn't give Sullivan a full vote of confidence, as people noticed. They said Sullivan would be involved in the transition process, but they also said the new hockey operations would evaluate the coaching. So there's a little bit of doublespeak there. So Sullivan's probably definitely on a clock, I would say. I don't think they're going to fire him, of course, but I think he's definitely on the hot seat, which is where he needs to be based on his, you know, F3 defensive and puck-moving defense, all the crap that just doesn't work anymore. But moving forward, my main concern is in goal. Because Jarry, I never heard, I mean, there's been some doozy goalies in Pittsburgh over the years. You can probably think of a couple. But I never heard of a guy. I actually think he's, frankly, dumb enough to think if since he played the last five games of the season, now he'll get his contract, even though he's done really nothing in his tenure. So you can, I don't want him back. I don't want a bridge year. I don't want to, it was a prove it year, and he proved it all right. He proved he shouldn't be there. But the problem is they got DeSmith at $1.9 million, and he is not a guy you can plug in for a month at a stretch. So he's a spot starter twice a month, if that. They got Jarry, you got to move on from him. They either need a stud and a backup like DeSmith, or they both have to go. And then you need $2-4 million. This guy can play if we need him to for 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever. But that's where it's got to start. It starts from the net out. I'm a little excited to see if they bring somebody in, a new hotshot, how he manages to get something out of Crosby. Because the Fenway group said Crosby should never be seen in another uniform. But they also said that about Xander Bogaerts for about the last 2 years. The difference being in baseball, they don't like the no salary cap stuff. They don't want to pay $300 million for their team. At least the NHL blocks that. You can't. Crosby's not going to get $28 million somewhere if he wants to move on and go to another team. So we'll see. I know, like, Starkey or whatever is kicking around John Gibson as an option. Well, let's hope the ping pong ball doesn't fall their way, because that could throw Anaheim on their ear. He's tradable now, but what if they get Bedard and then they decide they're going to try for it?
They need a goaltender, yeah. So, yeah.
And the last thing I'll say, thanks for the time, Bob. The sleeper, and this is just an NHL thing, just reading the juju, watch out for the name Philadelphia popping out of that hopper. I'm just saying, who needs the talent more in a big quote-unquote hockey market? The Blackhawks do, but they rode a 10-year hot streak. I'm just saying, if you believe in the juju of the hockey gods, don't be surprised if Philadelphia pops out of that hopper for Connor Bedard. I'm just saying.
I don't want to see that. They don't deserve that. Thank you, Ryan. They don't. You know, but the thing about, I'm not a big fan of lottery systems. I'm not. We got to figure out a way to alleviate tanking, and there are ways out there to do it. There are some interesting thoughts about that, about put emphasis on teams that have been eliminated to play meaningful games, and instead of, you know, tanking, you in other words, you're going to have to, who has the best winning percentage after you've been eliminated, you know, put a little carrot at the end of that so they don't, so they have to play. I mean, that's a whole nother topic on another day. But generally speaking, I agree. They got a lot of problems here. And again, I just like to know how much of a challenge it is for any GM. He has to, and you're going to have to give assurances that you're not going to get rid of the GM after 2 years if things don't go well. Because this is not a rebuild. When you have those three guys still in place, you're trying to win now. The window is open. It's barely open for them, but you got to give them something that helps. And Ron Hextall did not do that, which is why he paid dearly for it with his job. We're going to have more on the way. We have Counselor Woody and Rich. Hang on. I got to go to a break. We'll do it right now. I want to remind you our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran shop 24/7 with expressway@cochran.com. Welcome back, and thank you very much if you're driving around, listening, and calling. I do appreciate that. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pump. I want to remind you, too, our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day, driven in style, as always, with number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. And the fan wants to visit your youth baseball and softball teams in action with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Parents and coaches, send an email to us. It's youthsports@937thefan.com to register your team, ages 12 and younger, at 937thefan, and maybe stopping by to see a game or a tournament brought to you by Living Treasures of Laurel Highlands. Speaking of baseball, the Pirates lost last night. Johan Oviedo was outstanding for the second game in a row, dating back to his game against the White Sox and the one last night in St. Louis. 13 and two-thirds innings, one run allowed, 15 strikeouts. And to think that he wasn't going to make this starting rotation, it took an injury to JT Brubaker out, and he has surgery. He's going to be gone for 14 to 16 months, so Oviedo got his chance that way. He should be here, and they should stick with him. Also, Luis Ortiz and others down there need to get opportunities. One other note about the Pirates, nothing new on Brian Reynolds, and this is, again, going to become a problem day-to-day unless it changes. What do you do with him? They're shy. They don't want opt-out clauses. Fine. You don't want them. Just give them the money. It's as simple as that. The Pirates need to start paying people whatever the market says. I looked at the Ian Happ deal, Joel. He got 3 years, $61 million. That's $20 million a year. Compare him. Compare the two. You'll see what I'm talking about. The market's the market. You got to pay it sometime. Your thoughts about Derek Shelton. Apparently the Pirates, Jason Mackey was reporting this, that they're interested in a DI. You know, listen, to me, I'd do it just because Derek Shelton seems to be a guy who has his hand on the pulse here. I don't think you can evaluate him properly one way or the other. And if that's the case, you may want to say, then don't give him a new deal. But at some point, you have to make a decision on him. He does not have a good roster. He still doesn't. It's getting there. But I think you got to judge him based on that. And since he's done all of this through these last several years, I don't have a problem with it. To me, he's the least of there, and who cares? He's a manager. You bring in somebody who's making $7, $8 million a year as a manager, it won't make a difference if you don't have the right people. It takes time, and it's taken too long for my liking for the Pirates, but the bottom line is, I think that's just, at this point, who cares one way or the other? But I think he's a good guy. I think he knows what he has here. You got to give him more talent, and that's on the way. I'm being optimistic there for a change on them because I don't like the way this has been handled for the third straight five-year plan or whatever the case we're in. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the counselor. Hey, counselor, what's going on? How are you today?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Oh, good.
Congratulations on your daughter's new job. I hope it's very...
Oh, she's actually her. It'll be being a mother. That's a big job. Okay. I have respect for all mothers out there. What it takes, because my wife set the standard for my kids, and they're doing the same. So yeah, so she's gonna miss the Penguins. She's been there for 9 years and loved doing that job. But you know, motherhood is going to be happening starting next fall.
Well, congratulations to her and to you.
Thank you.
Anyway, my take on the Penguins is this: you're going to have to cut Carter and eat the salary, okay?
I don't know if you can with – well, yeah, you can cut him and eat the salary. If he can't – I don't think he's always going
to
be bought out.
I'm not saying it's going to be painless. You know what I mean? You're going to have to eat some salary all over the place.
They do.
And you're not probably going to have to – maybe even worse, Grenier or Grainer or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Grandlin,
yeah. They're not going to be easy either.
No, I think that's going to be fairly easy. I'd buy him out and just say, I'm sorry. That's a deal. That's a panic move that management group made. They didn't have to make it. Yeah. Kulikov's another one. I'm sorry. They didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but I think Kulikov's done. I didn't think he got more than a one-year deal, but I may be wrong.
No, but I don't think that was the kind of player they needed at the deadline.
Yeah. The other thing on the Pirates, I agree with you. Pay him an extra $15 million or whatever, make it $120 million, okay, or $14 million, whatever that is, and say, okay, we bought you out of your opt-out. You know what I mean? And then that ends it, in my opinion.
Somehow, and thank you, Counselor, for the call. They the opt-out got into this whole baseball narrative now, and so everybody's putting it in there. Players want it. I get it why they want it. And if you're Brian Reynolds, I think you have legitimate concerns. You've been down this road where they've had multiple terrible seasons. You want to assure yourself that, okay, the Pirates are interested in getting through the two arbitration years that are left and some free agency. I get it. He's also interested in being on a contending team at some point. Maybe he's not convinced it's going to happen here. He has every right to believe that. So if he wants an opt-out to do that, then fine. The one way to make his opt-out go away is to give him more money. And again, this contract apparently is backloaded. Put some of that backloaded money up front, whatever it would take to get him to agree to it. Now it's become more optics to me. Because regardless of the reason, if he doesn't end up staying here and they trade him, it's going to be the same narrative for the Pirates. Oh, they just never will pay anyone. And they don't. Prove me wrong. Go out and do it. And there's reasons to get this done. He's a good player. I know players have ups and downs and slumps, and all the best ones do. Doesn't matter. He is a good player for this, and he's 28. Pay him. 412-928-9370. Got Woody in South Carolina. What's up, Woody?
Hey, Bob. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Congratulations on your daughter's, having a child.
Thank you.
And I do believe that the Penguins' job is a good job for the right GM. One thing they must do, they've got to get some grit on this team. They need guys like Kunin. They need guys like Max Talbot. They don't have that. When Letang got hit the other night, Crosby came to his defense. You don't want your best player fighting battles, period. I don't care.
Yeah, he and Malkin have done it a lot. Malkin's jumped in a lot. And while I don't like his penalty minutes, he shows me a lot that he's the guy doing it. He doesn't need to be, but they don't have many others.
You don't want your stars fighting battles. The name that there's two guys that I hope they can get. One, I don't believe they will. And I think Billy Guerin is really happy in Minnesota. Jason Botterome is the assistant GM in Seattle. And I have read nothing but good things. The Penguins get a GM that knows this team. They will do something with this team. And I really think that's a key issue. Get somebody that actually knows this roster, knows this game. And Botterome does. So does Billy Guerin. Fitzgerald ain't going nowhere after Devils.
Listen, I appreciate that, and thanks for the call. But I'm not, at this point, into recycling too many names. I get it. Guerin was here, so was Fitzgerald, so was Botterill. Botterill was under Sherrow. Some people want Sherrow back. I'd rather get away from that. I think Sherrow, and the question I'd ask him is, why would you want to leave a team like New Jersey when you have an opportunity to be there? Jason Botterill also had a chance in Buffalo, and that didn't work so well. And I like him. But there are a lot of other guys out there. The guy in Toronto, I think his name is Dubas. He's supposedly a hot. I don't know anything about him other than he's done a pretty good job in Toronto, and his contract ends at the end of this year. There are other guys. I think they owe it to themselves to put a big web and search everywhere for the best candidate. It does not have to be a recycled product. Let's go to Rich in Forest Hills. Hey, Rich, how you doing?
Good morning, Bobby.
How are you?
Thanks for allowing me to talk to you. It's becoming an every other weekend tradition.
I appreciate that tradition, unlike any other.
Hey, the one thing I think that's missed in this whole discussion about the Pens GM search is, I stand by this 1,000%. Whoever made the call to hire Burke and Hextall should be either fired. I think firing squad's probably not a reasonable thing, but they should not have anything to do with this.
Well, that was under the former regime, and they probably aren't there anymore anyway.
Well, you can't assume that to be so. Burke is a dinosaur. He had his days, and as I read in one of the hockey blogs, he probably had the best job in hockey because nobody knew what he did other than cash a paycheck. Hextall clearly had no background, no track record. If I have a Mercedes-Benz, which I considered the Penguins to be at the time Rutherford stepped aside, I don't, no offense to Jiffy Lube, but I don't go to Jiffy Lube for an oil change. I'm going to trust that vehicle to a master technician. It's not Hextall's fault. He had no experience. There's no track record there. He certainly didn't have any success with what he did in Philly. But it was just a very, very cavalier move. I mean, mm-hmm. Chris Drury was available at the time. Now, clearly he was, looking towards the Rangers, but if you identify the right person, and I said this to you before in a call before to you, what would be the most, in my opinion, what's the most best use of spending money in the Penguins organization? It's management right now. You don't have money to go out and buy another Crosby or Malkin or Letang. You already have them. So your fourth highest paid person in the organization should be the general manager, who is crafty enough, wily enough, smart enough, intuitive enough, and dare I say, with the new analytics, analytical enough to go out and identify the pieces that will fit to make this Mercedes run perfectly again. Personally, I don't see there being too many of these people out there.
And Rich, that's going to be one of the biggest. It's the biggest decision they have. And thanks for the call, man. I always appreciate it. I don't know how many people would fit that criteria, but I think whoever it is, you're right. The analytics part of the game, the understanding, it's going to have to be drafting too. It's going to take time. That's what I said. I don't think you can expect a drastic change necessarily from 1 year. That whoever is in here is going to have some assurances that he has time to reshape this roster. Not unlike Billy Guerin, who went to Minnesota, and one of the first things he did was get management to understand they had to buy out some guys. Zach Parise was a guy who signed a huge contract. Who was the other guy? There was a defenseman. Same thing. He signed at the same time. Ryan Suter. So both those guys were bought out. And he cleared ways. Now, you have to have somebody willing to do that, and it's going to take, with some of these guys and these contracts, you got to start over. So that's what that is. Real quick, let's go out to, who's next? DJ in Pittsburgh. DJ, make it quick, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Bob, as far as the Penguins go, I hope they bring back Student Rush, because I don't see no one paying over $200 a ticket for that debacle. You know, they got to get some fans in there. I think you're going to be seeing Arika Feta days coming.
Well, they did have 96% capacity. It wasn't what it was, but they still the danger, I think, DJ, is if this gets even worse, then you're gonna have issues with who shows up at games.
Yeah, I think they better bring back Student Rush.
Well, they had it at times.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Bob, hey, have a good one.
You too, thanks. 412-928-9370. We rush to an update with Joel Nelson coming up. In the meantime, we'll expand this. Your thoughts on the Penguins, what they should do. Here's something else that I'm a little surprised at. So I give a lot of credit to Phil Kessel. You know, he's had this streak of 11 straight years of not missing a game, and yet he takes so much abuse for, well, he doesn't even touch anyone. Let me tell you something. Everything on that ice can hurt you. Plus, he's a player who doesn't necessarily look like an athlete who could sustain a lot of injuries, and yet he does. Give the dude his congratulations. 11 years, 82 games every year playing. I don't care that he doesn't play a physical part. There are a lot of guys in the league who don't play physical styles, and yet they miss massive amounts of times. I give Phil Kessel a big stick tap for that one. 412-928-9370. We'll be back with more right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show until 1 o'clock. Call us. Air your opinions. Do it live on 93.7 The Fan. We continue to roll on this beautiful day In Pittsburgh, PA, 412-928-9370. Show brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Good people at PNC Bank. Check out their virtual wallet. And number one, Cochran. Man, they're all over the place. They got every sort of car you can possibly imagine. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com and ride in style. We have a lot of people want to talk. We have a lot of issues we're exploring here. And I appreciate those of you who've lined the phones here. So I'm going to get to you and we'll go through some rapid fire stuff, beginning with Jacob in Pittsburgh. Jacob, how are you?
Good. How are you on this beautiful Saturday?
Oh, it's been a great week. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just calling in to talk about the Pirates. You know, I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest Shelton guy in the world. I think that sometimes he tries to get a little bit too cute. But again, you know, like you said before, the roster is what it is. The biggest issue I have, again, it sort of feels like it's going to be rinse and repeat forever. We've been in this limbo forever. We'll never pay our best players. You know, the injury bug seems to always sneak up on us. And again, you know, we lose Cruz for 4 months. I just don't see any scenario where we ever start to get into contention because we'll never pay players. And frankly, you know, if you're outside the top 15 in payroll to start the year, you have pretty much no chance. I mean, last 35 years, only one team outside the top 15 payroll has ever made it, has ever won the World Series. So, you know, I think until they introduce a cap and a floor and, you know, make teams pay their players, I think we're doomed.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. There's too much resistance from players unless they just shut the whole sport down, and that's not going to happen. You know, so Jacob, you're right. And now it's part of their identity that they're known as don't want to pay your players. Yeah, they'll do it to absorb some of the arbitration. I need to see more beyond that. That's why, to me, this is a very interesting case, this Brian Reynolds case. Not only does it take you the final 2 years of arbitration, but it goes into free agency. And he wants more assurance than that. And you can't blame him knowing that he's been around some very bad losing teams, constructed poorly, and he may not want to be a part of that 4 years from now. That's part of his opt-out. The other is they've backloaded the money. So if you're going to do that, then he's going to want out before it gets there because he's betting on himself and might be better.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, you have a gold glove talent in the outfield and easily your best hitter at the plate, and you can't dish out a little bit of money to keep him around for 4, 5, 6 years. I mean, it's getting to be a bit of a joke, right? I mean,
it's beyond. That's why it's on them to do it. And it's interesting you brought up O'Neill Cruz. That injury takes them off the hook. There were a lot of people wanting to see them. I wasn't one of them, by the way. I want to see more from Cruz before I worry about signing him to a 10-year contract like these Wander Franco people want to do. I need to see more. Now this is going to make it, you know, incumbent upon him to come back and show them that he still has, because anytime you deal with one of those sort of injuries, you don't know how it's going to affect a player who relies on his back foot in the box for power, the way he drives the ball, and also he's a fast dude out there. So that injury could, you know, hopefully he's going to be fine and back to where they need him to be, because he has all the potential to be a really terrific player. Thanks, Jacob. Yeah, appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a good day. Let's go out to Rich in Crafton, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Bob. First of all, congrats to your daughter.
Thank you.
And maybe
she and Mac are excited.
May be healthy, and I'm a twin, so I have to give her the twin whammy. Hey, did I hear that the Steelers cut that punter Harvin and maybe Derek Watts on also?
No. No.
That's not a rumor. That's not true. Oh, boo. I was upset when they got rid of the other kid that punted for them when Harvin was hurt. I thought he was a way better punter.
Well, I mean, they drafted him. They think, you know, and he's been erratic. So, I mean, they got to get better at that. One guy who they didn't bring back was Bud Dupree this week. If you admit, there was a lot of talk he would come back, but he opted on going to a 1 year deal for $5 million. Instead of a multi-year deal, probably for a little bit less than that. So that was his choice, and that's fine. To me, I'm not sold on Dupree. When he left here, he was not the same player that he was here, and Tennessee paid the price for that.
As far as the Penguins, I'd like to see him find somebody like a Kevin Stevens or an Olfi to clear the net. They just let all these teams have their big goons stand in front of the net and hammer our goalies all the time. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the physical, and thanks for the call, Rich, I think the physical aspect of their game is lacking. You can define that any way you want. When you're on the power play and you rely on a lot of guys, you know, Mike Sullivan always says it, and I think he's correct on this. The best way to break down an opposing defense is by putting shots on the net and then having defensive people, you know, look for rebounds. You have one extra guy on the ice, put it on the net. And I'm not saying they, you know, there are times they do it. But you also need to crash it with better. You got to take away vision from goaltenders. And as much as I give Jake Guentzel a lot of credit for going in there, he's not the ideal guy to put in front of the net. By the way, there's some news concerning the Pirates. Tucapita Marcano is up. G-Man Choi is on the 10-day DL with an Achilles strain. So Marcano will play, or at least be on the roster today. We'll see if he gets into the lineup. Frank and Carrick is our next caller right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Mr. Popiani, again, congratulations. You're a granddad, so am I.
Love that. Anyway, we're going to add on. I appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir. My call is, I was listening to the press conference. They're not giving Sullivan a vote of confidence, neither, as far as this goes. It's like cleaning house. And I agree with you. We need to bring in presidents of hockey operations and the GM that's willing to buy these guys out that Hextall really stuck us with. My question to you is, do you think that Sullivan had a hand in or had a say-so in bringing Granlund from Nashville here?
No, I would think that's a bone of contention. I don't know that for a fact, but I would bet, and again, I don't know this, I'm just telling you what my gut would say, that Mike Sullivan had a different viewpoint on what they needed at the deadline and what they got at the deadline. So
okay, my other question to you is, considering with Jari, the way that he's battled through injuries, he's come back, he's done this, you really think that they're going to tender him another contract? Or you think we're going to look elsewhere for another goalie and maybe a good defenseman? But, yeah, you're right. Some of these guys really got to go because it's – they're beyond their prime. But thank you for the call.
I appreciate it, Frank. Thank you for the call. I'm going to read for you a quote, 93.7 The Fan. I'm not sure who we have in the locker room. Today was a locker clean-out day over there. And Mike Sullivan had some actually very good things to say about Tristan Jarry, which I'm sure he feels this way, but I don't know if I would allow myself to think he is this. Quote from Mike Sullivan, Tristan Jarry is a top-tier goalie in this league and will continue to be. Okay, fine. If that's the case, we need to see more of it. And he's been injured a lot, so I guess it's hard to do that. But at the same time, if they're going to offer him a deal, I don't know how they come to an agreement on what is the right funding for that, because they haven't. He hasn't shown them that. He hasn't been that guy. And I thought in the Chicago game, there were a couple of sloppy goals in that game, and that was a game they had to win. So, yeah, sure, it's good to show your players you believe in them, but put your money where their mouth is. Are they actually going to give him maybe what he wants? And I think when he's healthy, we've seen that he can play at a very good level. But you got to see it more consistently to make that commitment, especially with this cap situation being what it is. Bruce in Brookline. What's up, Bruce? How you doing? I'm going to get it right. Give me three chances, Bruce. I'll get you.
I appreciate it. Congratulations, of course, you, but I want to say, I think because you put good energy onto the universe, you receive good energy back. So I would say congratulations to you and your family.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Very quickly about the Penguins, the fact that they hired all these morons from the last mayor's administration because they were so focused on development. Why is Kevin Acklin still have anything to do with this team? I mean, they've already got everything that they wanted from the city and the URA, and they're going to let this guy hire another GM? I mean, it's a disaster over there.
I don't know if he's going to be the guy hiring it. I don't know that.
Well, he was at the press conference yesterday reading statements. I mean, get hockey people involved. These, you know, the development is over. They've got everything they wanted. How much more do they need? Like, it's a disaster.
Well, again, I'd like to know the chain of command about that. But Bruce, I'm up against the break, and thank you for the call and thanks for your kind words. I think you're right. Hockey people need to make hockey kind of decisions on that. I just think that makes sense, and I'm sure they have people there. Problem with the Fenway Group is until yesterday, we really haven't seen many presence of people. I don't know how many people are involved in this sort of thing, and I think that's something that needs to change. They need to be a little bit more visible. That doesn't mean you have to be at every game. That doesn't mean you have to – although I'm glad to hear them say that they'd like to have Mario Lemieux back here and more visible, you know, and I think there was an issue there between – you know, the sale of the team, Mario, and hopefully that has been resolved. In the meantime, We're going to continue for another hour. 412-928-9370. JL, hang on. We'll get to you at the top of the hour. We got more lines on the way. Call, air your opinions. We're getting into the Penguins, what they need to do next. How attractive is this job for the next GM? How long will it take for them to make a switch? Now, you can do it. We've seen teams do it, but you got to make shrewd decisions, and some of it may involve buyouts. Derek Shelton, does he deserve a new contract? I say yes. What do you say? And what else we got going on? Oh, playoffs. I'm going to tell you why I think there's a team in the Western Conference of the National Basketball Association that is going to surprise people. We'll do that, and all you NBA people out there, give us a call. I'd like to hear your assessment on that. And we'll also talk about the hockey breakdown and some of these series. Who do you expect upsets? What is the most intriguing series? I happen to think it's the Rangers-Devils first round. Man, boom, right off the bat, those two go at it.